Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Garrity. As you can tell by the title of this episode, it's just going to be 27 things that I've learned in my 27 years. I cannot believe that I just turned 27. That sounds so grown up. And I know it's still my 20s, which sounds like, oh, you're in your 20s, you're young. But something about early 20s versus late 20s feels so different. I mean, if any of you were like in your late 20s, 30s, whatever, then you know. Or even if you guys are like 22 listening, let me just tell you, 22 versus 27 feels so different. It's actually weird that it's only 5 years apart. Like, it feels way different. Even like, yeah, 21, 22 to 25 to like 27, 28, 29. I'm sure, yeah, you just keep growing so much. And it's just weird to me because I think about when I was younger and like a little girl. Oh my gosh, 24, 25, 26, 27 sounded like so grown up. 30 sounded like ancient. You know what I mean? So I'm like, wait, I'm now that person that I always thought was. I'm the 27-year-old now. I just honestly can't think about it too much. It starts to make me feel like uneasy a little bit because I just will always feel 18, 20. Maybe 22 on the inside. I feel like I could be 22 right now. That sounds right. Even like 24, 25 feels a lot better. I wasn't even used to being 26 and I have to become 27. I just feel like each year goes faster and faster. So I'm not even used to saying the year that I was before, but now I have to get used to 27, but I wasn't even used to saying 26. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm also having deja vu. I don't know if that's the right word. I'm having like, whoa, because I wrote down my notes and then I just like vlogged a little bit for my vlog and I was saying stuff about this podcast and now I'm going to say it in the podcast, but I feel like I already said it. But I have to apologize that this feels like it's turning into a once a month podcast. Ideally, I'd really like to be every other week. And I was just thinking how it's crazy that when I first started this podcast, 2019, I'm always like, my baby started this podcast yesterday. I'm like, Gretchen, that was 5 years ago. But it just feels so recent in the scope of me doing social media since I've done it for literally ever. But I just think about how it was really crazy that I was posting every single Friday when I first started. And I think that's because when I first started, I had a million ideas in my head to talk about and things to like catch up on. Like, I had episodes like, you know, body image and relationship with food, things like that, just things that I was dealing with for a while that I wanted like specific episodes for. So I feel like I had a lot like in the backlog of like things I had to talk about, topics. But now I'm like, I've talked about all the things, like I'll just share like, hey guys, you should listen to this one I filmed in or I recorded in 2022 about comparison, or then listen to this one back when I talked about self-care. Like, I'm like, what has changed? But no, there is always something to say. So yeah, no, every week does feel hard though. Like, I really don't know if I could come up with a whole episode every single week. Like, maybe if I found like very niche things to talk about. But yeah, every other week sounds good. So I'm gonna try to get back to that, not just once a month. But let's get into some updates in the past month. I don't want to talk too much in the beginning because we have a lot to talk about in the 27 things I've learned, and I feel like that's gonna end up taking a while, and I wanted to be like concise and to the point. But some updates, I'm looking at them right now, my nails I put down on my notes to talk about my nails because I tried new nails. I haven't done these nails before and I really like them. And I was surprised because basically, if you guys know, I get light pink, like a natural light pink dip manicure on my nails every single time I have for years and years and years, almond shape. Yeah, that's just what I like. It's just natural and light, goes with everything. I don't get sick of it. It's like I get sick of a lot of things, and it just grows out really nice, kind of like blends in with your normal nail color, you know what I mean? But I was like, maybe it's time to switch it up. Over the summer, I actually did the short nails for a hot sec when like squoval was really becoming a thing, like a really short, like kind of like rounded square. And I did French and I didn't really like it, but I think it's because they were so short. I didn't like it on me. I know short nails were like coming back for this year, but on me, it's just not good, you guys. Like I have big hands. I kind of have chubby fingers and I just need the length and the almond shape to kind of like elongate my fingers. Anyone else with me? So yes, this time going to my nail salon 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I'm actually about to get, I have two broken right now, so I have to go get them fixed today. I'm going to get new ones today, but I do really like these. I wonder if I'll even get them again. Maybe I will, because before I went to my nail appointment, I was looking on Pinterest for nail designs and I found this sort of like natural French looking manicure with a chrome over top, but it still looked really natural and nice. And I was like, wow, I haven't even seen that before. I really like that. I'm going to try it out. And I loved it. Like I love these nails. I just did French dip manicure. And I remember even telling her there, I was like showing her the picture. I'm like, see how the white almost looks more natural? Maybe we should do an off-white kind of cream. She was like, no, this will be good. Like it'll fade. Cause you know, it's like a really crisp white at first, but it definitely has faded. These are good. They look natural. And then she's like, the chrome over top will like blend it all together. So I did that, just French dip, chrome on top, like chrome powder. And they just look so nice. I really like the way these look. And then it was so funny because then right after I got them done, I started seeing girls everywhere at the same nails. I'm like, oh my gosh, there they are. So yes, really like these nails. You guys should try them out. What happened? Oh, right after that, it was a couple weeks ago, went to Boston for the weekend, celebrate our bestie Hannah's birthday. That was so much fun. Had a blast. You know, I always say my soul is just happy and thriving whenever I'm Boston, when I'm in Boston, like just feels right when I'm there. I have so much fun. My twin sister, best friend Taylor, live together there. And it's just always a big social outing, just a blast and a half. I get to do all my old favorite things, like favorite restaurants, favorite workout classes. Yeah, and I'm actually about to go back this weekend for St. Patrick's Day weekend and have another bender. That's going to be so much fun with all our friends. We're going to do a little late celebration for our birthday. Yeah, that's the plan. And I want to touch on this very briefly because I talked about it a bunch in a vlog literally for 10 minutes long. But I was just thinking about it because I said, I get to go to all my workout classes. I literally did 4 workout classes, you guys, I think in 3 days or 4 days. I was going a little too hard. I was pushing myself a little too hard, I think, but I wasn't even realizing because I was just having so much fun in these workout classes because they're my favorite thing, like Core Power, Hotbox, SoulCycle. And I think the main issue was the lack of rest, recovery, sleep, which we'll actually talk about in my list. And just, you know, not sleeping, not drinking water, drinking alcohol, feeling like crap, and then going in, pushing myself in a workout. So I actually really injured my back. That was not fun. It hurt so bad, like very bad for like a week. And then slowly but surely has been getting better. I still don't feel 100%. Honestly, I have to keep up with my PT exercises every day. But basically, I think from going so hard in all those classes, thank goodness I drove my 4 hours back to our place in New York. And I made it in one piece because right when I got back that night, I was like, whoa, something is so wrong. I can't walk around. Literally for the next 2 days, could not get off the couch. Like couldn't bend over, couldn't like lean forward, couldn't do anything. My back was in extreme pain. So ended up going to physical therapist. She was like, yikes, everything's out of whack. You like pulled all your lower back muscles, just everything you're telling me. She's like, I think your body was really overtired and will kind of compensate in ways. When you're really tired during a workout, you'll have bad form and it's just gonna be like yanking at muscles in your lower back, using muscles it shouldn't be using when you're not engaging your core, your glutes, whatever. So she was like, yeah, this is really bad. Did a lot of work on my back. I would do these like patches on my back. I had all these PT exercises I've been keeping up with, which are definitely helping, just kind of like engaging inner core, glutes, hamstrings, all the stuff around there to help my lower back pain. So yeah, that was like so bad. I just was like, wow, I never appreciate how mobile I am until it's all taken away. And I was just in a dark place. I'm like, I feel depressed. I feel like I can't do anything. I'm so unmotivated because just everything hurts. So yeah, I don't want to talk about this anymore, but I talked about it a bunch in a vlog and I was just like, my heart goes out to any of you that deal with chronic pain because holy moly, I did it for like a week and I was like, I'm all set with this. Like, this is horrible. So that was that. We're doing better. Back to happy things. We officially booked our wedding planner. Woo! And chose our venue for our wedding, which is so exciting. I don't even believe it. It's definitely starting to feel more real, all those conversations, and we're getting the ball rolling. It's over a year away since it's not the summer, but the following summer. But yeah, I'm so excited. It already feels like so close, but so far away. And I just feel like once we get to next year, I'm going to be like, oh, I still have to wait till the summer. But honestly, thank God it's not the summer, because I probably would have been a stress ball. But then I also now have a feeling of like, maybe it is better to just have a 1 year engagement instead of 2 years, because when you do the 2 years, I was always like, oh, it'll give me no stress, so much time. But it's like, there's only so much you can do so far in advance. So then you're almost like stressing for longer than if you had just given yourself a year, you know what I mean? But anyway, that's that. Had my birthday 2 days ago as I'm recording this in Albany with my twin sister, back where we're from, back home with our mom. And it was so much fun. It was just a very chill day. I told Max, all I want to do is like bake a cake, walk the dogs, relax, go to a really nice dinner, do presents and champagne. And that's exactly what we did. And went to our favorite restaurant in Albany. I keep saying it's my favorite restaurant in Albany. Definitely favorite for special occasions. I would not be going here like on the regular. It's like a very expensive, nice steakhouse, but it's called 677 Prime. Highly recommend. And it was just the best dinner. And we had our little strawberry cake that Max actually mostly made. I like helped a little, but he was like, I'm, you know, head chef. You can be my sous chef. And it was just great. I got a pink little skim sweatset. I'm actually wearing it right now from Max. He also got me the Aura ring, which is so sweet. Now I'm playing with it, moving around my finger. I had just thought about this for a while and wanted one of these. So this is going to be so fun to try out, see what I think. And what else? Any other highlights? Got Lucy an Aviator Nation sweat set because I have one of those and I love it so much. I'm like, so love this. It's so cozy sweat set. We love our cozy sweat sets. What else? We were in our TikTok era. We made some TikToks. Our mom, why can't I remember the main present she got us? I'm literally the worst that I can't even remember. Oh my gosh, I'm horrible. It was a curling iron that I love so much that I lost, and it's like expensive and nice, so I didn't want to get it. And then like a month before our birthday, I was like, you guys, like a little birdie told me I need this curling iron and I lost it and I don't want to buy it. And my mom got me it. So that was so sweet of her. I'm literally horrible. I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, why can't I remember? Because what I was thinking is at the end of the night, when I was leaving, she's like, wait, I forgot to give you girls these little things I thought of you and got you. And she got us bags of the Trader Joe's Brookie caramel things. Is that what they're called? You guys know I post about them on my story. Go to Trader Joe's and get these immediately, okay? If there's one thing you take from this episode, you need these. They're just really crunchy little like brownie cookie caramel crisp things from Trader Joe's. And they are so good. So yeah, it was just an amazing birthday. It's been really nice weather out, feeling like spring. It's helping my mood a ton. It's like sunny outside as I'm recording this. I'm like looking out the window. It's gonna be nice and warm today. I'm gonna take Birdie on the longest walk. So yeah, that's what's up. Also, I just have to say, side note quickly, I wanna shout out you guys for supporting me and being the absolute best, because I was just reflecting and realizing I have been able to work with some of my dream brands already this year, and it's only March, and I think they're brands I literally put down to like I'm manifesting to work with this year, and to just reflect and be like, wait, wow, that's actually happening, and I just appreciate it, and I just want to shout out you guys, especially for supporting my content that is sponsored, because it's like, it literally is my dream to work with brands that I really love and, you know, have bought from for years, and so when I get to do something like a paid sponsorship with them, it's just so fun that that gets to be a part of my job. So yeah, I just have to shout out you guys for all your support. I love you. I've been able to work with brands recently like Abercrombie. That was so exciting for me. I was like jumping up and down when I found that out. If you guys saw my little reel on Instagram, because I have been an Abercrombie customer since I was maybe 10 years old. You know what I mean? I have never strayed. Their stuff is just so good. Obviously, they had their like rebrand. Their stuff is better than ever. Like all their jeans, their dresses, their sweaters, their jackets. I just love their stuff. So that was so exciting, being able to work with Vivrelle. Obviously, love their bags. I love what they do. Just like, you know, it's like a, you can borrow designer bags each month, and I just feel like it's more sustainable, and so that's really great. Dick's Sporting Goods, actually, well, I'm giving you a, why can't I find the words? I'm foreshadowing. I'm leaking that I'm working with Dick's Sporting Goods, but I'm actually posting in a couple hours. So that'll be up by the time this is up. And so it's just a dream to work with some of my favorite brands. So I just have to say that. Even, you know, right before I started recording this podcast, filming for my vlog, sponsored by Way, I was just having a moment of like, I have the coolest job, you know? Like, these are some of my favorite brands that I, you know, purchase from on my own day in, day out. Favorite hair care that I use every day. And the fact that they're like, we love you back. We want to work with you and, you know, send you our brand new product to promote. Like, that is so cool. I have the coolest job. So I just have to say, I'm feeling very grateful. I think I'm in this mindset today, honestly, from journaling this morning. We're going to talk about journaling as well. I always feel like funny talking about journaling. People are like, just journal about it. It's like, oh my gosh, we've heard that, you know, like, be yourself, drink a lot of water, journal, like, okay, we get it. But actually though, I think it is really helpful. And I was journaling about how I'm living my dream life. I'm like smiling, talking about it. And I really can't complain. You know, I just feel very blessed in it. I can find myself at times feeling negative or like not much. You guys know I'm overall pretty positive, but I can feel down about things or overwhelmed or stressed or yeah, just negative if like certain things aren't going my way or, you know, work things can get hard. I have to like reshoot something a bunch of times, whatever it is. I'm like, I can't complain. Like, this is my dream life. And yeah, I use the We're Not Really Strangers journal, by the way. I love it. My twin sister Lucy got it for me for Christmas. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. But I didn't know I'd be sticking with it every morning. Like, it honestly is one of my favorite parts of my morning to see what my little prompt is and be like, wow. And it always makes me really reflect. And I want to say the prompt this morning was like, write something down that will be like giving yourself a hug. And so I just took that and ran with it with like gratitude and was like, this is my dream life. I'm so proud of you, Gretchen, and all that you've accomplished. It sounds so weird to say it out loud, but yeah. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about BetterHelp. This episode is actually sponsored by BetterHelp, and I know I've opened up with you guys in the past and I've talked about how much therapy has helped me. If you've ever considered therapy, now could be a good time to try it out with BetterHelp, especially because in any hard times, I've always felt like an unbiased opinion has been so helpful to just give me perspective on whatever's going on. I also always feel so empowered seeking therapy, like I'm doing the best job I can to care of myself. I always feel like your therapist can offer an alternative viewpoint or ask a question that really gets me thinking. I'm always like, didn't think of it that way. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online and so convenient and flexible. You just fill out a short questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can also switch therapists at any time for no additional charge, which is so nice to make sure it's a good fit. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gretchen today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Gretchen. And now let's get back into the episode. You guys know I always say something I'm happy about in every episode, happy quote or idea. I'm happy about 27, feeling like a fresh chapter. Almost feels like New Year's Day. You know, after your birthday, it's like, okay, here we go. 27. Let's get like the lay of the land, feel it out, settle in. Feels a little scary, but I have faith. You know, people say 30s are your new 20s. I can't even believe I'm saying that out loud. But I feel like I'm like getting close, you know, like 2029. Like I'm 3 years away. That is horrible. That is horrible to say that out loud. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm going to be like 30 one day and 40 and 50. Ah! It's like you can't even picture yourself getting older like that. You know what I mean? Like you can't picture what you'll look like or feel like because you just think about you, like your identity is you in this moment in your youth, I feel like when you're young. So I don't know, but I need to not worry about all that because 27 does feel like a fresh new chapter. And happy quote or happy idea. I thought of it immediately. I'm like, my quote needs to be, age is just a number. I feel like I'm being so cheesy or saying just like stereotypical things. But no, my real idea is Well, yeah, this is just not even like a happy quote idea. This is just something I've been thinking about a lot, so I want to share. I almost feel like I'm having deja vu, like I've shared this in the past podcast. I feel like recently almost, maybe because I was talking about turning 27 in March, but I was telling my mom and sister actually at dinner, I was telling them something that my dad told me years ago when I was a little girl, and it's something I'll never forget. And I told them that at dinner. I'm like, you guys, I want to share something with you that daddy told me I'll never forget. They're like, what? What are you talking about? And I told them how I was probably, oh my gosh, 10, 9, 8. I remember being young and asking my dad, because I think these are two separate occasions, but I specifically remember asking, like probably learning about age, right? Like, daddy, how old are you? I was probably 7 because he said, well, honey, I'm 37. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're ancient, you know? And then a separate time, maybe a couple years later, maybe I'm like 9 or 10, I remember saying to my dad, daddy, like, how old are you now? You know, he's probably like, okay, now I'm 40. And like, what was your favorite age so far? I just remember asking him that in specific. What was your favorite age out of all the ages you've been? And immediately he was like, 27. And when I told my mom and sister this at our birthday dinner, they were like, what? I'm like, yeah, he literally didn't hesitate. I will never forget this because he was like 27. And I'm like, oh, you already know? Like, why 27? And I just remember him explaining to me, like, 27 was just the best. He's like, you are so independent, living your life on your own terms. Well, I guess him and specifically before children, right? But was he engaged to my mom? He might have just been dating my mom. I want to say they met when my mom was like 24 or 25. He was a year older than my mom. So they are together, but this was like before kids, before marriage. And he's like, 27 was the freaking best. Like, you're still young and youthful and your body's still feeling good and not, you know, getting old and crickety yet. You're feeling good, you're looking young and cute. You know, he's like in a relationship, and he's like, you're more settled into your career, because he's like, early 20s are great, you're like young and hot and thriving, although you're broke. And he's like, I was broke in college, after college. But he's like, 27 when I was finally like, okay, I'm more settled in my career, I'm making some more money, you know, I'm living my life on my own terms. I can have fun with my friends. I know more of who I am. I have good friends. I can travel. I have my girlfriend. Like, 27 was the freaking best. I will never forget him saying that. So, yeah, even our waiter, you know, at dinner, right when we sat down, my mom was like, I have to tell you, it's a very special day. 27 years ago today, I birthed these beautiful twin daughters. I'm like, oh, mom. But he was so sweet. It was this older guy. And he even joined in on the talk of 27 and was like, you know, 27 is so special because you really start to thrive, I think, when you're out of your early 20s, when you're 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. He's like, I think that's when you really like come into yourself and, you know, have the career, hopefully, even if you pivot, even if you change it around, it's okay. Maybe have some more money, have some friends, getting more settled. So yeah, 27. Again, Lucy and I are kind of shook by it all. Just think about when we were little, being like, 27, so old. Or honestly, even we were 21 when I met Max. He was 23. And I remember his older sister, Chase, shout out Chase, love ya, was 27. Yeah, because I want to say she's 6 years older, 5 years older than us. And I just remember her so specifically being like, how old's your sister? Oh, she's 27. And me at 21 being like, oh my gosh, like, she's such a grown up. She's 27. You know? And it's so funny we were saying that on our birthday, because then later his sister texted us and was like, oh my gosh, I think I was 27 when I met you guys. I'm like, we were just talking about how you were 27. We felt like you were so grown up, and we're like, wait, now that's us. Age is so weird, you know? Also, I just have to mention quickly, back to the sad. I just have to say, because if any of you have lost an immediate family member, someone very close to you, celebrating birthdays feels weird. And just celebrating birthdays years and years after our dad has passed away almost feels weirder every year. Like, I almost feel like I don't get used to it. And it just doesn't feel right. And I just feel like it brings up so many memories. And I just think about him so much more. I feel like I've been thinking about my dad constantly recently, having dreams about him. And, you know, maybe it's the birthday that's making me think of him more, or maybe I can't tell which way it's happening, or maybe because it's our birthday, I'm talking about him more, so maybe that makes me have dreams about him, you know what I mean? But yeah, we've just been sharing so many memories with him, and I feel like I've been seeing so many signs, and it really does help. Like, it is so bittersweet. I still have the moments where I just feel this like pain in my chest. I'm like, oh, I just wish he was here. Do any of you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, like I'm just like frustrated. I just want to hug him. It's almost like a similar feeling to sometimes when I'm away from Brody for a while. I'm just like, oh, I just want to hug him right now. Like nothing will make me feel better than like a really big hug from Brody. You know what? Maybe, wow, now I'm saying it out loud. Maybe that helps me feeling like I just want to hug my dad. Like I just hug Brody and I'm like, okay, like this helps. You know, this is like a close second. And a hug from Max, of course, as well. But yeah, that's that. If any of you, you know, of any big days, oh my gosh, I can't even think. I don't know how. Lucy and I were freaking 22 years old when we lost our dad, had our college graduation 2 months later, and I feel like we were in, you know, shock. We were in survival mode because for so long, our dad would talk about our college graduation, how excited he was. He couldn't wait. And for us, it was like devastating, honestly. Oh my God, I'm going to cry. No, going into her graduation, like walk across the stage without him being there. And I just remember that day being like, whoo, this is me so rough. And like, everyone was like, he has the best seat in the house watching you, you know, get your diploma and all. But whoo, I didn't think I was gonna be emotional. I just want to say, I know I talk about it here and there. I like worry I talk about it too much, honestly, like my grieving journey. It's always like, we get it, Gretchen, you lost your dad, you're sad. Like I always talk about it. No one says that. Everyone's so sweet. But you know, I don't want that to be like all I focus on. But whoo, I just had to say, if any of you have graduations, birthdays, holidays coming up, I feel for you and I want to hug you right now because it never gets easier. It does just get easier to deal with. That's what I always say about grieving. That's what, whenever anyone close to me loses anyone now, I'm like, oh, I just want to take it away, first of all. Second of all, I want you to crawl into my arms and I want to hold you and cradle you like a baby and put you in my pocket and bring you around everywhere. Like, I just want to hold you and hug you because I know how painful it is. And I always say, it doesn't really get easier, but it does get easier to deal with over time. And you just learn more about yourself and your grieving journey and like what helps you move through that. So with that, let's get into this list of 27 things I've learned in my 27 years. And I just sat down and really focused and tried to get out all I could think of. But honestly, I feel like I could make this list 100 things I've learned in 27 years. It was hard to narrow it down. Even things I don't have a specific one about, like, you know, losing someone or grieving, but I've had a whole episodes all about that. So yeah, this is kind of what I'm like nervous that I'm forgetting big things, but this is just what came to mind and in no real specific order, kind of a little bit. I try to do like categories, things that are like related to each other, but here we go. Number one, my 27 years, 27 things I've learned. You are fully responsible for yourself and your life. You're like, I know, but your career, your lifestyle, your friends, your goals, your habits, your home, your pets, it's all on you. Overwhelming, maybe, but also empowering, perhaps. I feel like you guys will see a theme throughout these that a lot of it has to do with autonomy. And I think for me specifically, throughout my 20s, I've just learned like, whoa, Gretchen, you can do whatever you want to do in this life. You can be whoever you want to be, and you can live your life on your own terms. And it's all up to you and on you. And sometimes that seems overwhelming, but also it's really nice. Like you have the power to choose the type of person you want to be, the job you want to have, the dog you want to have, where you live, the friends that you keep, the family that you see, the partner that you're dating, you know? So yeah, that's one of the things I learned. Like, I feel like when I was little, I just thought maybe because you're raised in your parents' home with a twin sister, and like going through school, everything, you know, is like laid out for you. And you're like, well, this is a path. I go to elementary and then I go to high school and then I go to college and then I get a job. But then after that, it's like, no one tells you, but that, like, it can look a lot of different ways. And I don't think I realized, like, I thought someone was always going to like tell me what to do, but they don't. You have to be your own boss and tell yourself what to do. Number two, no one is going to make your decisions for you. You have to trust your gut with your career, your friends, a partner, a home. All the things. Oh, yeah, that kind of seems overwhelming. I feel like sometimes that can be a bad judge of character. Like, I just feel like I give every situation, everyone, a benefit of the doubt. So what's helped me is having a twin sister that's a really good judge of character. And, you know, advice from friends that I trust and stuff like that. But Yeah, no one's going to decide for you. You are going to make your own decisions. Number three, you have to be your best friend and number one cheerleader. You have yourself. At the end of the day, all these things are very like you. You got you. You're going to make your own decisions. You're going to be on your own. And it sounds like scary, but I do feel like you learn that in adulthood. Like you may, you know, live on your own for the first time and you realize, oh, I'm my own person. I can do whatever I want to do. I can make whatever I want to make for dinner. I can watch whatever show I want to watch. I could read whatever book I want to read. I can make whatever plans with friends I want to do. And maybe this sounds so self-explanatory to you guys, but maybe just for me, struggling with independence for so long, I'm like continually realizing this, like, oh, I can do whatever I want on my own terms. I don't have to do things a certain way just because I've always done it like that, or I tell myself I should. I can be my own person, make my own decision. So yes, back to you have to be your best friend and your number one cheerleader, because at the end of the day, you do have yourself. Like nothing is guaranteed. I don't want to say that about like friends and family and stuff. It's like so morbid, but I mean, it's true. And so I feel like if you can enjoy your own company, be your best friend, your number one supporter and cheerleader, that's really going to help you in your life and really going to motivate you. And I am still learning to be my own best friend. I've learned that with my independence and just learning how to enjoy time on my own. And like yesterday and today, I've been all by myself since Max is playing hockey in Canada. And it's been like a good test for me. I'm like, Gretchen, make a really nice dinner for yourself. And, you know, put on your cute jammies, put on your lotion, and put on The Bachelor and get a good night's sleep. And all this sounds like self-care to me, but that's kind of what it looks like for me, being my own best friend, taking care of myself. So yeah, it's been, you know, scary at times learning that. Like you can also, it's normal to have your support group and your friends and your siblings and your family and everything like that. But I just feel like if you can be your own best friend, that's going to help. Number four, you have to trust yourself for others to trust you. And you build that trust by keeping promises that you make to yourself. And I wrote, it'll feel good. I promise. This is something I've thought about a lot. I feel like I've talked to my podcast, but I feel like me and my sister have talked a lot about self-sabotage and feeling like we, you know, self-sabotage is like hard to explain, but you guys know what I'm talking about. We all do it. Where you're like, okay, I got all my mixed greens for my salads I'm going to make this week. I'm going to get up early and I'm going to go to my yoga. And then maybe you stay up really late, but you're aware you're staying up late, scrolling on your phone and you're self-sabotaging because you're going to feel really tired. Maybe you even cancel your class in the morning. Maybe you go, but then you're exhausted and then you're tired and then it's late and you didn't make dinner because you're scrolling on your phone or you're doing whatever and you're not, you know, prioritizing your priorities. And then you like order Chick-fil-A, which is fine, but then your greens in your fridge rot. You know what I mean? Like, I just think if you have, that's just like, oh, that's what I came with on the spot. But workouts is a really great example. If you have a workout routine that you're trying to stick to and you keep those promises you're making to yourself of your workout routine each week, you are going to start to trust yourself and it's going to feel really good and you're going to count on yourself and then it'll show others that they can count on you as well. Number five, you have the control over what you consume. This is all focused on you, but like seriously, these are things I've learned because I've had to bring awareness to it. Like for this, you have control over what you consume. Be intentional. It's like it took me a while into my 20s to realize this. Like I would just scroll on my phone, you know, or just like eat really mindlessly. And so being mindful with what you consume, content on social media, news, advice from others, food, like it applies to all things. All of it really impacts you, what you're consuming, what your brain's consuming, what your, you know, stomach is consuming with the food you eat. It all impacts you in your day-to-day life, your mindset, how you feel. So yeah, just learning like, okay, if I eat a can of cinnamon rolls every single day, it might make me happy because that's my favorite, but it might make my stomach hurt. It might make me like crash from all the sugar. You know, so just being aware, those kind of things are really helpful. I'll talk more about food. But yeah, the consuming of content, I've had to be really intentional with that, and it really does impact your mindset and your mood and stuff like that. And now I'm thinking back to COVID, all I would do is like park myself in front of the TV and watch the news, and it would make me so anxious, so scared, so sad. I'm like, okay, I think I gotta like protect my peace a bit. I think maybe like a couple minutes of the news each day, and then I gotta move on with my day because I'm driving myself crazy over here. So just being mindful of that. Number six. Okay. I've been thinking about this ever since I first heard of it. This is an asterisk here. A healthy lifestyle is simple, not easy. So I agree and disagree with this at the same time, because I think it's like oversimplifying things a little bit. But I mean, it was very motivating to me. I would think, you know, healthy lifestyle, if it's like eating a nutritious diet, working out, movement, simple, not easy. Because it's like we all know deep down, movement is good. Maybe movement every day, whatever movement feels good to you. Maybe that's walks, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's Pilates, maybe it's weightlifting, maybe it's running, maybe it's swimming. Like, we all know movement, and we all know eating nutrient dense foods, if that's fruits, vegetables, whole foods, whatever kind of diet you subscribe to, if you want to be vegan or dairy free, or you know what I mean? That's why I think it, like, I disagree as well. Because everything is different, and I think everyone being different is what isn't simple, and that it takes time to learn what that simple, healthy lifestyle is for you, because maybe you start to realize you have like a gluten intolerance, and getting rid of gluten in your diet helps tremendously, but like that takes time. That wasn't simple, like it, you know, or dairy, or maybe like the HIIT workouts is too much on your body, a lot of cortisol, and yoga and bar feels a lot better. So, okay. I'm like, I'm reading it. I'm thinking something different. Okay. Simple, not easy, because whenever I heard that, it would motivate me, because it's like, it's not easy because we let life get in the way. Like, we let like maybe going out too late, drinking too much, being lazy, sitting on the couch, whatever. We let that get in the way. And like, that can be what's easy sometimes. But it just motivated me because it's like, it's simple. We know the answers. We just like choose not to, maybe self-sabotage, whatever it is. Although I do think it takes time to find what that lifestyle is for you. But I do think over time, you should feel within your body what feels right for your diet, for the food you're eating, for movement, for what content you consume, for all those things. And hopefully by 27, you're getting like a better grasp. Sometimes, I don't know about me, I feel like I just like all types of movement, and I have a hard time listening to my body because I'm like, woo, push myself. And then that goes back to lightweight rowing, my days with that. And I just feel like I should be working out so hard every day, or it's like not a good workout. So I need to let that go, leave it in the past, you know, because that's not helpful or productive at all. I've had to like reshape my mindset with the workouts, even a 25 minute workout, even a 10 minute workout, 20 minute workout, bar, yoga, even if I don't break a sweat, it's okay. It's still movement. It's still good, right? Here we go. Number seven. Whew, now that we touched on lightweight rowing, this one's hitting home, but this is true. We all need this reminder. I wrote it down. Number seven, how much you weigh is the least interesting thing about you. Yeah, that really hits home, because as good as I feel at times, like I'm on it, I'm making a really good effort, making whole foods at home with nutrients, but very like balanced meals, really tasty. I'm mixing in my favorite treats here and there. I'm being consistent with my movement. I'm trying with my sleep. But gosh, isn't it exhausting thinking about it? To really live like a healthy lifestyle, you got to be on it. I'm like, oh, like I'll be good with the food and the movement, but then I'm like not drinking water, not sleeping. Okay, so then that doesn't work. And then when I'm really good with my sleep, maybe I'm drinking water, but maybe I'm like eating out a ton. Okay, so you know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to have all the aspects, but we just all need this reminder. You know, I feel like over the years, in general, people probably gain a bit of weight. Like, you're not the 18-year-old that you were once in high school, and that's okay. Probably as you become an adult, you gain a little bit more weight than you were in high school. And even if you end up in a spot where you're like not in your workout era, gain a bit of weight, that's okay. And you will find your new normal. And oh, you guys know I always feel so split with this when I'm talking about movement and workouts. I'm just thinking of this like debacle in my head right now. I feel so split on both sides because I feel on one side, push yourself, have your fitness goals for your health. You know, it's great if you want to be on a weight loss journey. If your doctor thinks that's what's best for you, great. But then on the other side of the coin, I'm like, you should embrace who you are, how you are in this moment. But I think both can be true at the same time, right? Maybe you are postpartum. Maybe you were not on your workout grind for a while. You've been in a really stressful job. You've gone through trauma. You've been grieving the loss of someone. Whatever it is, you're in a spot where you're like, "Ooh, my health is out of whack. I need to get back into movement, eating healthy," whatever it is. I think you can give yourself grace and love yourself in the season that you're in and also have goals and have like steps to work towards those goals. But at the end of the day, how much you weigh literally is the least interesting thing about you. And we just need to remember that because we can get so caught up in that. And I can get caught up in how I look, how much I weigh, how all that. And I'm like, it literally doesn't matter. Like it does not matter. Again, unless it's like affecting your health and for health reasons, you're working on things. Okay. But for the most part, if you are like generally in good health, your weight doesn't matter. And I just think if you were in a sport or like honestly any sport, I always thought it was just lightweight rowing because you would step on a scale all the time. But I remember when I first opened up, talked about it, every female athlete everywhere was like, oh, I felt the same pressures in gymnastics, in cross country. And, you know, I feel like everyone goes through like a body image situation at some point in their life, thinking a little bit about it too much, worrying about it, feeling negatively about how they look, how they weigh. But you just have to remember, think about yourself at 85, looking back at 87. That'll be me 60 years from now. Looking back, I will be so sad if I think of me in my 20s and think about how much I worried about how I looked and I felt like, if only I lost like 5 or 10 pounds, maybe then I would be beautiful. Like that is so sad and it's just not true. And I also, this goes into my, you know, body image when I really struggled era in high school, college. I remember saying in my episode, one of my very first episodes of this podcast, it's so horrible because when I literally think about the lightest I physically weighed, I was the most miserable. And I think I had the worst body image of all because it'll never be good enough. Like you lose your 5 pounds, you lose your 10 pounds, but then maybe you could lose more. And then you're like picking yourself apart, nitpicking everything. And you got to go back to little you, old you, looking at yourself in your 20s and seeing this version of you thriving, happy, and healthy, and that's what matters. Okay? Okay. I could talk about that all day long. I always do. Number 8, sleep, rest, and recovery are essential in life. And if you don't take a break, your body will for you. I wrote, I've learned the hard way. By overuse injuries, sickness. Oh my gosh. Do you guys remember my college era of strep all the freaking time? Because I was just running myself into the ground. I was like crazy with my workout classes because I love them. And I was up all night editing my YouTube videos with college, traveling, social life. Like something's got to give. And I wasn't willing to let anything give. So then my health did. And I was sick all the time. Injured. Yeah. Sleep, rest, recovery was definitely on the back burner. So yes, I've learned the hard way. Just like how I just hurt my back, right? Like if you don't take a break, your body is going to make you take a break. So prioritize sleep, rest, recovery. Okay. Number 9, friends are important and meant to give companionship and an overall positive impact on you. For example, you have fun, you feel inspired, you learn a lot from them. But number 10, friendships shouldn't drain you. You shouldn't feel negative around them. They shouldn't make you feel negative. You shouldn't feel like you're being put down by them. If they like really differ with your values, you grow apart. You know, I think I've had a whole episode on this as well. I don't want to get too much into it, but friendship breakups can be really hard and really sad, but sometimes necessary if you feel like you've really grown apart, you don't relate anymore, especially if you start to feel like overall the negatives are outweighing the positives, you feel negative around them, you're not happy when you're around them, you feel drained, you feel like they're putting you down, rude to you, breaking you down, you don't feel inspired, you don't feel happy. Like you just got to be honest with yourself because number 11, You're the sum of the people you spend the most time with. Choose wisely. This is so true. The people around you rub off on you, your mindset, how you think, how you speak, and you can handpick the people that you choose to spend the most time with, right? So choose wisely. Number 12, the right partner will feel reliable, safe, trustworthy, especially when times get hard, but also fun, uplifting, like your best friend. This is making me smile. This is so Max. He is the right partner for me. I can trust him. I can rely on him 100%. I feel so safe with him. We also have so much fun. Like, he's my best friend at the end of the day, you know? And that's something I've learned. They should be all those things. 13, family is the most important. Spend as much time with them as you can. You don't get that time back with your parents, your grandparents, etc. Okay, not really getting into the grieving when you're losing loved ones, but you get where I'm going here, okay? Spend as much time with them as you can. Call your grandparents today. Call your grandma, call your grandpa, call your mom, call your dad. They'll be so happy to hear from you. Yeah. 14. You are who you tell yourself, you are. This is getting back to like what I was talking about in the beginning. All about you. But seriously, this is something I feel like I've learned more recently. Hearing, I don't even know where I first heard this, hearing that you can change your narrative at any time, the narrative that you tell yourself who you are, is so freeing. Like, you can change tomorrow, whenever you want. Again, learning I have autonomy. But I just feel like so many people tell themselves, oh, I'm not a morning person. Oh, nah, I'm not really, you know, I'm not really like athletic. I don't really work out. I'm not a reader. You can change that today, tomorrow. Start reading. Start waking up early. Boom. You're a morning person. Start working out slowly but surely. Look, now you're athletic and you are a fitness queen. You can be whoever you want to be, okay? 15, comparison really does you no good. I honestly cannot think of a time that it's done anything for me other than made me feel icky. And to further on this, when you're feeling icky, I feel like it's normally because you're consuming. You're consuming so much content. You're comparing yourself to this person, whatever it is. I think when you're like consuming all day long, consuming news, content on your phone, the TV, you start to feel icky. It's because it's time to create instead. Sure, create content. But even aside from that, I've noticed when I start to feel icky, because I'm like, you know, in my computer, on my phone all day. When I'm creating, if I'm cooking dinner with my hands, chopping up vegetables, doing things like physically gets me out of my head, makes me not feel icky. Yes. Also going along with getting out of my head, 16, giving back, whether it's your time, your money, donating your clothing, whatever it is, feels really good. And I think it's very important if you are fortunate enough to be able to. Also, like I was saying, gives you perspective and gets you out of your own head. So important. I feel so strongly about that. I feel like I've talked about it in the past. I have this belief, I just feel this calling to help others and donate time, money, clothing, whatever it is, because I feel so fortunate to have the career that I've had for a while and, you know, made my own money for myself for a while. And I've just always felt like, you know, you have this duty if you have excess money to donate time, money, clothing, whatever it is. So I feel really strongly about that one. 17, if you are feeling off, did you have coffee on an empty stomach and that's all you had today and it's making you anxious? No, like literally that's something I've learned. No water, not much food, not much movement, not much sleep. Maybe it's time for some water, food, nutritious food, a really nice meal, movement, sleep, self-care, outside time. If we're missing all of those things, no wonder we're not feeling good, right? Start there with all those things. I promise you will feel better. 18. Unfortunately, everyone was right with all of these things, all these next couple of things, okay? Staying off your phone first thing in the morning and late at night will make you feel better, sleep better, make you less reactive, less irritable. 19, meditating, slowing down will always help your mood and your mindset. Maybe journaling, maybe reading, yoga. Like all these things you hear, I'm like, dang it, they were right. 20, movement will always make you feel better. You never regret a workout. I always say that. Again, asterisk, take it with a grain of salt, okay? You are going through a really hard time, injuries, etc. Maybe movement isn't the answer, but I would say a majority of the time, movement makes you feel better. Meditating, yoga, journaling, mindfulness, slowing down, staying off your phone, going to bed early, going into sleep. 21. A consistent sleep routine, sleeping enough with the same early bedtime and wake up time will improve your day to day tremendously. Waking up earlier, I feel personally, leads to less stress, less overwhelm throughout the day since I have a moment to myself in the morning and there's just more time in the daylight to tackle everything at a good pace. I'm not like rushing to get things done because I woke up at 10:30 a.m. You know what I mean? Oh, like I hate hearing that. Like, and even my psychiatrist was like, you know, let's work on our healthy sleep habit, earlier bedtime, consistently every night, same consistent wake up time every day. I'm like, oh, I hate to hear it. I love to self-sabotage, stay up all night long scrolling, watching The Bachelor. 22, a solid morning and night routine will also have you feeling less stressed, more in control each day. Oh my gosh, you guys, I can't make this up. This is what I get. My phone just kept buzzing like crazy and I was like, sorry, we're almost done. We have 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 5 more. Phone is buzzing like crazy, so I just checked it really quick. It's always when you least expect it. Max is just texting me a bunch of texts. It's always chaos. He's on the road right now. Like I just said, he's in Canada playing, except he literally just goes getting ready to nap because they have a nap during their game day. And then 10 minutes later, just kidding, I just got called up. Me and one of his teammates going up together, got to get on the plane, meet them in Dallas. I have like no clothes, LOL. Oh my gosh, you guys. Freaking chaos. I cannot. What did I just say? Got to stay off your phone. Then you can't react to the chaos. Oh my gosh. Okay, now I'm all out of whack. Now I'm all distracted. Only 5 more. We can do this. Sorry, I just had to say that quickly. Because I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. Midst recording my podcast. Okay. 23. Your external environment really affects your internal environment. So it's good to make an effort to keep it clean, tidy, cozy, relaxing. I feel this one so much. And I really learned this in my 20s because I used to be like a tornado in my environment and it would just be a mess everywhere. And I'm like, whatever, who cares? I'll deal with it later. But literally, when my environment is cluttered, my brain feels cluttered and I can't focus. So a little bit of tidying, clean, cozy, you know, every day really helps. I'm just thinking like, every day I try to do something to clean, if that's tidying, putting things away, vacuuming, cleaning the counters, whatever it is. And it just, nothing is better than the end of a long day, it being tidy in your space, light a candle, self-care, do the everything shower, put lotion all over your body, put on a cozy sweat set, the candle's burning, you have like a nice tea going, you're watching The Bachelor, you're unwinding, nothing feels better. So, yes, your external environment really affects your internal environment, I've learned. 24, if things in your life aren't serving you, it's okay to pivot. And I believe it's never too late. I haven't pivoted much. I really did in college. I always talk about this. This is like a big pivot, a big turning point for me because I was unhappy and I felt like things weren't serving me. It was the end of my beginning of my sophomore year of college. I was like, I am unhappy. Everything's wrong. So I always talk about this. Within a week, I was like, you know what? I'm changing everything. Scrap it all because I'm not okay. Everything's wrong. Broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years. I changed my major and I quit rowing and I never looked back. And it was amazing. Big pivot, big change. And it was all for the betterment of me and my well-being. And I'm so happy I did all of that because I wouldn't be who I am today without it. So I believe it's never too late to pivot in your career, your relationships, where you live. Like all these things I feel like are so big because they apply to so many things. If you don't like the city you're in, move. if it's making you unhappy. Again, with a grain of salt, obviously you need to have a job, but maybe you ride it out. You're like, okay, in a year in this position, I can like transfer to this location because I'll be happier if I live here. I'll be closer to family, whatever it is. This friendship isn't serving me. Maybe, you know, with it kind of dwindles, I focus on these new friendships that I have that feel a lot more aligned with me, whatever it may be. 25, you can say no to things that won't serve you. If it's a social gathering because you've been doing a lot of that and you need some me time, if it's alcohol, if it's things that are asked of you, I think it's good to have boundaries. Very helpful, very necessary. Stick up for yourself. It's okay to say no. I think that's something a lot of people learn in adulthood. It's okay to say no. Because I feel like as a child, in adolescence, in high school, college, you're such like people pleaser. Yes, ma'am. Like your professor. I don't know. You know, you just do it all FOMO. But I think in adulthood, you learn you can say no if that's what's best for you. 26, don't dwell on things too much. This is also very vague because this can apply if this is the old you that you compare yourself to. I have a whole episode on that, comparing yourself to an old version of yourself. Don't do that. Don't dwell. If it's a lost relationship, if it's a family member you lost, if it's a breakup, you're allowed to dwell, but not too much. If it's something really embarrassing or like really hard in school or work, you can dwell a little. Oh my gosh, embarrassing. Or, oh, you have a bad exam. Okay, we got to work on this. But these things really don't matter too much in the long run. Okay, losing a family member, yes, does matter in the long run. But if it's a breakup, you move on. If it's, maybe you get back with them. I don't know. If it's something embarrassing, if it's a bad test grade, if it's comparing yourself to a skinnier, younger version of yourself, that doesn't matter. Okay? And again, if it's grieving the loss of a loved one, another thing that helped me is you're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be really sad, but you can't be too sad for too long. That's when we gotta work on our self and our grieving journey. And I've just learned so much what's helped me in that way, like movement, like talking to my sister, my mom, therapy, cuddling my dog, journaling, praying, having faith, seeing signs. All of these things have helped me. So all those things I feel like help you to look at it in a nostalgic way instead of just too like hopelessly sad for too long. Okay, sorry. That applies to a lot of things. 27, here we are. Okay, I feel like I really started speeding up towards the end because I want to be concise and to the point here. I feel like there's so many more things I could say, but these are really just the lessons that I've learned that came to mind. Lastly, 27, failing at things or rejection or adversity of any kind will make you stronger and all the better for it. And it can feel so hard in the moment if you get dumped, if you don't get the job that you really wanted, if anything is like really hard in your life. But once you get through it, you'll see why that happened. Like, I just truly believe that things happen for a reason. Again, with a grain of salt, sometimes things you're like losing someone, it's like, what is the reason for this? Okay, fair. But I choose to always look at things with a silver lining. I do feel that there were so many silver linings to losing my dad, even at such a young age, because I always say I look at it in the positive mindset of I'm so grateful I had the best dad for the first 22 years of my life than maybe a dad that I wasn't that close with. Or I'm so grateful that I have, you know, this platform that I can share my grieving journey and help those of you that have lost a loved one. So although it's like everything happens for a reason, okay, maybe, but truly looking at things with a silver lining and any like hard things that you go through, that not really a reason, but you know, rejection, problems, like failing, adversity, things that have gone wrong, I look back and I know what happened because something else is waiting for you, right? This job didn't work out because another one is just behind this other door that you're going to walk through. So I truly believe that. And those are my 27 things, lessons that I've learned in my 27 years. I feel like I have so many more things to say, like specifically with like relationships, with body image, with mindset overall. But yeah, I actually talked to my twin sister about this because I was like, Lucy, maybe even when we're together on our birthday, we could record this. I'm like, you know what? It's our birthday. We're not going to want to like take an hour or two to sit down and record a podcast, but I did talk to her about it and she was like, oh my gosh, I already thought of things that I would say. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll do my 27 things I've learned in 27 years and maybe I'll have her on the podcast soon to do her 27 things she's learned in 27 years, because I think our things will be similar but also different because we are so different and have gone through different things. So yeah, that's that. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I love you so, so much and I'll catch you in my next one. Bye.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.